beautiful people. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the program. Stoke and Josh rocking with you 10 to 2. And we appreciate you guys being here with us. A big Thursday. Well, we got a lot to react to and get you ready for on this Thursday. First and foremost, Stoke, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Nice day outside. We got a great weekend. And the Masters is on.
Yes.
A little bit of delay, but it's on. And you know I love me some Masters. So looking forward to this whole weekend, seeing who's going to win this thing. And it was a great win last night for the Nuggets.
Great win last night.
Hard-fought win. But they got it done, and that's all that matters. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
You were there.
I was in the building last night.
You.
We were taking it all in.
And like, man, you were all over the place.
Yeah, it was awesome. Got to hang out with some of the Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic crew. Zach, Phil, and Mike were there, and we got to watch, the best game of the entire year. At least the
exactly.
most meaningful game of the entire year for sure. And yeah, we'll just jump right into it. You want to join us, 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line. What are your takeaways from this big, big game? We were just talking about a little bit before the show, Stoke. It was a game that, I mean, Minnesota was in control. Minnesota looked like they were going to handle their business on the road, talked about how big the game was ahead of time. But then start the final 12 minutes on the clock in the Denver Nuggets. Well, they did Denver Nuggets type of things. They played great basketball. Nikola Jokic dominated Rudy Gobert, who's going to be the defensive player of the year again. And Christian Brown dunked all over that fool's face. Stoked, that fourth quarter was unbelievable.
It was. Jokic is just so impressive. Obviously, Gobert is long. He's tall. He's a defensive player of the year for a reason. I mean, it's hard to get shots over that guy. And there in the when they went on that run, and Jokic, I don't know how many points he had in a row, but it was just a masterclass of how to figure out different ways to score the basketball on a guy that's more, I don't know, that's taller than you, mm-hmm. that's can jump higher than you, and it was just brilliant. That's what it was. I mean, it's like, how is this guy going to get this shot over Gobert and find a way to make it? And he just did it. Possession after possession, just an unbelievable comeback there. It looked like, I'm watching that thing, and I'm like, this thing is not going good. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards was feeling it, and they were on a little bit of a run there. I don't know what the biggest lead that they had, if it was 10, Minnesota, but it got up to close to double digits if it wasn't double digits, and then the Nuggets came to play. Jamal, he got on a little bit of a heater there. Christian Brown, nice job from him, providing that spark. But Jokic, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, what else can we say about the guy when he goes for, what'd he go for,
41.
41 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 16 for 20.
Dude.
He only missed 4 shots. Only thing he's got to do is shoot the free throws a little bit better. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit off, which was confusing, especially early. He's like started 0 for 3, 0 for 4. But what else can you say about that guy? I mean, the way that he just took over, and he was like, all right, let's go. Yeah. I want this guy. And he took it to him time after time after time. Great win for the Nuggets. Now you fast forward, you look ahead and say, you got two more.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get these two more, and then you're the number one seed. Plus, you finish the season off with the most wins in Nuggets history.
That's right. That's what's right in front of you. If you get to go to San Antonio, beat a bad Spurs team, go to Memphis, and beat a bad Grizzlies team that will certainly not be there mentally. I've never been a big Rudy Gobert. I really like that you call him Goober. Fan. Like, he's tall. That's great. If that guy wasn't tall, he'd be like making crepes in France somewhere, handing it to somebody as they go to work.
Mm, talk to me.
That's all he has, dude. His skill set is height. He won the height lottery. He can't score. He had a couple of like one-handed little like push floaters. I mean, it made Kyle Anderson's shot look good.
Oh,
that's how bad that thing was. He airballed one of them. I saw him in warmups doing some of that stuff, and I was like, why is he messing around with those floaters? He's never going to take that in a game. And then he did, and the results were the exact same. I'm not a Rudy Gobert guy, so I'm biased for sure. But if that guy wasn't tall, he wouldn't be doing anything as a professional athlete. His skill set is height, and he's pretty good at being tall, I guess.
Yeah, it's always fun to see someone dominate him. Mm-hmm. And Jokic certainly did that. So it was a a really, really, that's a playoff atmosphere. That's a playoff win is what that is. Yeah. That's what you're going to see. Who's going to make the plays when it matters the most? Who's going to make the plays in the fourth quarter, the last 5-6 minutes? And the Nuggets did that last night. So a really good job hanging in there when they didn't have their stuff because it was an action-packed first quarter. Yeah. Then all of a sudden that second quarter hit, and you look up, it's like the Nuggets got 30-something points with, you know, 2 minutes left to go of the two and until halftime. It just slowed down so much. But they just figure it out. They find ways. Mm-hmm. Good to see Aaron Gordon back.
9 assists for AG.
That was you know, 2 thumbs up. Yeah. There. So that helped me out not to panic about his mm-hmm. availability coming up. So it was good to have the guys back in the lineup and Jokic just to see him say, all right, because you never quite know with mm-hmm. him. Is it going to be a passive night? Is he going to be aggressive, trying to score, get other people involved? What is he going to do? And there he was just taking over. And some of the moves that he made, it was just, I mean, it's just remarkable. It really is remarkable how he just figures out how to score the basketball.
Yeah. On all different types of defenders. What he was doing to Rudy Gobert last night, because he knew if he can't get Rudy deep enough in the paint, he is going to be tough to score on. So what he would do time and time again is be dribbling the basketball at the elbow and then find his position but quickly pivot to the other way where Rudy's body was not and have an easy right-handed or left-handed kind of lay-in from 4 feet in front of the rim. He like I said, he's the T-1000. He evaluates everything in real time, and he's going to make the right basketball play literally 100% of the time. And he might be the only basketball player in the history of the NBA that you can rely upon to make the right basketball play 100% of the time.
Another thing here is, and once again, like it was pretty funny watching late in the basketball game, and the Nuggets, they pretty much had it, and Jamal came out of the game, and there was Jokic still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the game. Like, mm-hmm. wait, why is he still in the game? What are we doing here? Huh? I thought it was about health, all about health, and the game was pretty much locked up.
Yeah,
and. But there he was, still in the game.
I think it was about getting that 40.
Yeah, that too. But like, hey, so is health the number one priority? And because the next possession, they got on the ball, mm-hmm. and he scored, and he got over the 40, which is cool. I'm all about that. But no, they were on a mission to get that number one seed. And now you got 2 layups. You got to take care of business. And then you're the number one seed in the West, which is awesome. I think that's a big, big bonus, having that in your back pocket, knowing that everyone has to go through Denver, altitude, everything here, home crowd, all of that. If you want to beat the Nuggets and knock out the champs, you got to go through Denver.
And look, it happened last year, right? Boston got beat, and then Denver was the number one overall seed in the entire NBA. So crazier things have happened, and it could lead to, if they get there, home court being right here in the Mile High City, baby, when it comes to the NBA Finals. We're going to keep this conversation going. We'll check in with you guys on the RamosLaw.com text line. Tell us how you feel, what you're thinking ahead with these final 2 games and how the Nuggets approach them. And we're going to talk about what it looks like. Final couple of games for the Nuggets, final couple of games for the T-Wolves, and the final couple of games for the Thunder. We're going to discuss how the Nuggets can secure that number one seed for the second straight year. Next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Masters underway. We're going to chat about that as the show rolls on. Tiger's not going to tee off till later on this afternoon. But our buddy Wyndham Clark is a part of the morning group, so we'll keep you updated as we see some things happening at Augusta. But we're talking Nuggets right now. After a big win, 116-107 last night, they take control of the number one seed in the West. And now it's up to them how they handle the Spurs, how they handle the Grizzlies. You take care of business. Stokes said it. You not only are the number one seed in the West for 2 straight years, you set a franchise record for wins for the Denver Nuggets as an NBA team with what would be 58. So, Stoke, we told you it's going to be San Antonio, Memphis, both on the road Friday, Sunday for the Nuggets. Minnesota is going to host Atlanta Friday and then host the Phoenix Suns on Sunday, which could be a very meaningful game depending on how a few things shake out. OKC, they have the toughest schedule of the three here. They're going to go to Milwaukee Friday night. Of course, that'll be without Giannis. But then they're going to host Luka, who's red hot right now. Luka's just so hot right now. And the Mavs, and that's coming up on Sunday. So, I mean, pretty simple, right? Take care of business in San Antonio or Memphis, and you don't even have to worry about what Memphis and Oklahoma City do. But that probably means you're going to want Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray and all hands on deck for games 81 and 82 in San Antonio and Memphis.
Yeah. I got thoughts on Luka that I've been thinking about in the shower the last week.
Okay.
so I want to share those at some point. But, no, I the great thing about last night is you just take care of your business. And that's what you got to go out and do. You don't have to scoreboard watch. We don't, I don't care what Minnesota has, who they play, what they're doing, and all of those things. I don't even care about Oklahoma City. It doesn't matter. We got San Antonio Spurs and Memphis to close this thing out and to finish with the number one seed. And that's what you got to do. So, yes, all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. We're playing basketball. We're still in the regular season?
We are.
Meaningful games? All right, well, let's go. And I think that's what's going to be the approach. You saw Jamal playing back-to-back nights. I know minute restrictions and all those things. But that's letting you know. They're coming to play here. And, you know, if you lost last night, then, okay, maybe you handle the last two games differently.
Mm-hmm.
But since you won and you got everything in front of you, you worked so hard to get here through, what, 80 games?
Mm-hmm.
And now the last two, let's go ahead and finish this thing off and let's go. I mean, I know when you look at who the opponents are, you can kind of overlook them, but we've fallen in that trap before. So
yeah.
You got to go out there, be ready to go because – you know, you mentioned it before. When you look at some of these guys on these teams, and they might be backups. I mean, some of them weren't even in the league at the beginning of the year. When you look at, like, Memphis, I think they have, like, 20 guys hurt. I mean, they got Scottie Pippen's junior. He's one of their best players.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so, like, I didn't even know he's in the NBA, but he's one of the best players right now. He's getting opportunities. They would like nothing more than to spoil the Nuggets and their number one seed. So you got to bring it.
Yep, you absolutely do. And look, I think tomorrow night, San Antonio, because everything that's on the line, you're going to see it all. You're going to see them go for it. And you and I have talked about this. Malone, what he says, even Nikola up to yesterday, not putting a huge emphasis on the Minnesota game. They said all the, well, what they believe were the right things to say. But then what they go and do and the way they play, they're showing us how important the number one seed overall is. So, yeah, Stoke, it is. It's now the moment where it will be, or at least should be, all hands on deck in San Antonio. And then the beauty of it is Minnesota and Oklahoma are also playing on Friday night. If they take L's, then you do have some choices on that Sunday game in Memphis. So you couldn't ask for a better spot, right? You have all of it right in front of you. You control your own destiny. I guess you could ask for a better spot to be 10 games up as they were a year ago. But, you know, the way things have shaken out, the Nuggets have to win two basketball games to have home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals. Pretty dang good setup on April 11th.
Absolutely. You know, if you would have said that after the All-Star break when we were talking about what needed to happen, how many games the Nuggets needed to win, how many, they had like 27?
They had 27 games. We wanted 20-7.
20-7, yeah. I wonder what they are coming down the stretch here. But you look at the next game against San Antonio, right? And they got their butts whipped last night. They lost by like 38 points.
The Spurs did?
Yeah, to Oklahoma
nice.
City Thunder. Wembanyama didn't play.
Mm.
So that's something to keep an eye on. Are they going to tap out and sit him the last two games? Or was it just one of those games where it's like, okay, he's just not playing this game. I don't know what the injury is. I don't know why he didn't play. But, you know, if he wants to rest one more game, I'm good with that also.
Yeah,
right? It's not like he should make that big of a difference. But, you know, he's a really good player. And I'd like for him just to rest up for the off season and get ready to go next year. So that's something that we'll be following here the next couple of days and see what his availability is.
I think the Nuggets, with two games left, I think they're at 18 wins. Might be more than that, 19. I'll have to go back on a break and do it. I was trying to do it in real time.
Yeah.
That could be dangerous for me.
Very dangerous.
But, yeah, it's you're right, man. This is exactly what they want, exactly what they need, and it's right in front of them. It's interesting you said you wanted to talk about Luka. Because I also wanted to spend a couple minutes on Luka today.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big Luka fan. I've said for a couple of years, as great as Nikola is, we know that there's all the haters out there that don't fully embrace him the way they should. But I've said for a few years, once LeBron hangs it up and he's out of the league, I think there's an opportunity for Luka Doncic to be kind of the first European face of the league. because he's more of a sports center player, right? He's going to get the highlight plays. He's not above the rim a ton, but his ability to dribble and shake fools and then step back three, like that's what the league wants. That's what you want to be the face of. And there's a conversation happening right now in NBA circles that Luka can push Nikola, like now, right now, for the MVP. And let me tell you, that's not the case. That's not true at all. He's having a heck of a run here over the last 10, 14 days. And when Luka Doncic, this is what Luka does, Stoke. He uses the regular season to get his body ready for the playoffs. And he gets hot right now every year because his body's in shape and he's fully engaged in being an NBA basketball player and a superstar that carries your team. When that pendulum swings to Luka using the offseason to get his body ready for the regular season, he's an MVP. But he hasn't done that, and he's never done that. He will at some point. He just hasn't grown into that quite yet. We watched Nikola go through that transformation, right? Yep. It was 4 or 5 years ago, Nikola Jokic was drinking a liter of soda every day. He's like Farva, drinking a liter of cola every single day. And he had that transformation, and it turned him into an MVP. As good as Luka is right now, he's not better than Nikola Jokic. He will get to that point at some, you know, when he takes this a little bit more serious. But I was kind of tired of all that nonsense. Like, it's an 82-game award. You can't give it to Luka Doncic because he's balled out in 10 games.
No, and you know, he's got Kyrie Irving, who's a, you know, top, I don't know, 10 player in the world. So that's nice to play with him. Mine's a little bit different. He's got the least amount of swag. He's got like the, he wears the undershirt. He's got the worst body, and it's like, dude, you look awful. I mean, you look. Do you work out at all? Like any kind of effort into working out?
Right.
You know, he's always sweat hair everywhere, and he's got the undershirt. You wear the undershirt when you're out of shape.
Yeah.
That's people that wear the undershirt. You know, he's like Zach Bye. He's wearing his T-shirt in the pool.
Yeah,
Zach actually did that when I brought him to the pool at Colorado Golf Club.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He wore a shirt into the pool.
No.
Yeah, I was like, dude.
He's representing the Stokely brand.
Right. And so that was the last time that he'll be invited back. But, like, that's Luka wearing the shirt in the pool. Dude, like, put some effort into getting and staying in great shape. You're a professional athlete. Just imagine if he did that. But he looks awful out there, and he just balls out. He looks terrible. It's like, bro, put a little bit of work into, like you mentioned, the offseason and during the season. Mm-hmm. We saw Nikola do that and how it's helped him take him from, you know, a good player to a special player.
Yep.
Just imagine if Luka put that type of effort into getting his body right. Because he got a bad body.
He does.
Bad body
he
for
does
such
have a
great
bad body.
Player.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching him last night. They played the Heat, and it's just like, it's really remarkable what he does game in and game out. So it's he's been great. But, man, you just kind of think, like, just imagine.
Right.
If he put a little bit more work in.
Imagine how good it could be if he took it a bit more serious. One of our texters is saying that 20-5 is the record. They did the math for us. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So even if they do lose the last two games, it's exactly what we wanted to, and they're not going to lose.
Well, we don't want them to. Yeah, we want to be wrong on this one.
Right. Yeah, 22-5 feels a lot better than that 20-7 that we were hinting at right there. So thanks for doing the math there on the text line. 480. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. I want to talk a bit about the Broncos. I saw a mock draft from PFF. It has 6 quarterbacks being selected in the first round. That would tie an NFL record for QBs in round 1 set back in the 1983 draft. So let's have some fun on a Thursday. Let's try to compare those 6 quarterbacks in this year's draft to the 6 that were in that 1983 draft, and let's figure out how the Broncos can avoid the 2024 Todd Blackledge. We'll do that next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
I want to react to a texter real quick, then we're going to get into PFF mock. We were talking about Luka's body, and you know, he needs to do some work on Luka's body. We got a texter, the 425, says, you think Joker has a good body? How bleeping delusional can you be? I did respond to the texter. I said, he does. He actually worked harder than anybody on the Nuggets team on his body, and he's in better shape than about more than 80% of the league. Go back 2 weeks and listen to Draymond Green talk about it. And the texter's response is, 80% of the league has six-packs and shoulders.
Nice.
That's great. But that doesn't really have anything to do with being in basketball shape. He is, despite not looking like it, he is actually an elite athlete and is stronger than about every center in the NBA. So if you disagree, that's all good. That's what this is for. It's fun and games, but
Jokic isn't wearing an undershirt.
No, he's not
wearing an undershirt.
No.
That tells you all you need to know right there.
He plays 40 minutes of basketball and then does an hour and a half workout after every single game to keep himself mentally and physically prepared. So it's just adorable that people don't want to give him his flowers. That's okay. We don't need you in the club. You know what I mean? Nikola's our guy. We're his guys. And if you don't like him, all good. You can look from the glass outside when we're having a parade in June again there, 425. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Broncos, Stoke. I saw this mock draft from PFF, and they have the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12 because Minnesota gets up to 5 and gets J.J. McCarthy, and the Las Vegas Raiders do take Michael Penix Jr. at 13. So that would make 6 quarterbacks in round 1 and 6 through 13 picks with this mock here. That would tie the 1983 draft for most quarterbacks taken in round 1. 83 was Elway 1 to the Baltimore Colts. How'd that work out for you guys, Colts? Todd Blackledge was 7th to Kansas City. Jim Kelly, the Hall of Famer, is 14th to the Bills. Tony Eason went to the Patriots right after that at 15. Ken O'Brien, we're going to talk about Ken, he was 24th to the Jets. And then, of course, Dan Marino was 27 to the Miami Dolphins there. So there's the 6. You got a few Hall of Famers in Kelly, Elway, and Marino, a couple of misses in Eason and Blackledge, and a big miss there in Blackledge. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about Ken O'Brien because he was all right, not on very good Jets teams throughout most of his career, but put up some decent numbers. Here's the fun little exercise, Stoke, I want to do. I guess you tell me if it's fun. So Caleb Williams is like John Elway, right? That's the surefire. That's, boom, you're going to get that guy. He's going to be the face of your franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
That's easy. That's the easy comp. Who's Jim Kelly? Is that Drake May? Is that Jaden Daniels? What's the other end of this? And we can have some fun with that. But what I really want to focus on is Ken O'Brien.
Okay.
Because, look, Bo Nix isn't going to be John Elway. Bo Nix isn't going to be Dan Marino. I don't believe Bo Nix is going to be Jim Kelly. Could he be a Ken O'Brien type? And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, he is the 5th quarterback selected in this 1983 mock. That's where the Broncos are going to be picking the 5th quarterback selected. Then I went back on Pro Football Reference and I started to look at some of Ken O'Brien's numbers. He threw for 25,000 yards in his career, 128 touchdowns to 98 interceptions. He never had a winning record, though, with the Jets. He kept them competitive, but was never above 500. So that's my question to you, Stoke. If Bo Nix turns into a Ken O'Brien, is that okay at 12th overall, when, what was Ken, 24th overall, and obviously it's different because that's just where the Broncos land, but is the 5th quarterback overall good enough for the Broncos? It's going to put up some decent numbers, but, you know, never really be good enough to elevate the boats around him.
No, absolutely not. We need better. We need better than Ken O'Brien.
That's available.
No disrespect, but I think we're shooting for a little bit better than that. So certainly I don't know what his situation was there with the Jets when he played there. But, you know, it's we're looking for one, to be one of the top guys on this thing. That's what we're looking to get, right? And so here's a great example of what we were talking about the other day. And, you know, someone might say it's a reach, it's a stretch to take Jim Kelly at 14. Oh, they took Jim Kelly at 14. Well, hey, Todd Blackledge was rated higher than him.
He was
taken at 7. Well, who turned out to be the better quarterback? So it's not, you know, by where you're selected or if it's a reach or, you know, oh, man, he should have gone in the 20s. Well, I bet someone would have, they wish they reached on Dan Marino in the teens,
yeah,
and not let him fall to 27, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about here. All right, fine. So if we get the 5th quarterback on the board here, and it's Bo Nix, okay, let's rock and roll. We hope that he turns out to be a Jim Kelly or Dan Marino in this situation, and because not all these guys are going to work out. You know, when you look at Caleb and Drake and Jaden Daniels and JJ, they're not going to all work out. Maybe 2.
Yeah.
You know, in this situation, what, 3 really worked out there? If two work out, you just hope you get one of those two,
yeah.
right? I mean, and it's not always the case where the first guy or the second guy are the best of the bunch. So I'm hoping that we're a little bit lucky here, that we didn't have a higher pick. Mm. Oh, man, if we had had a higher pick, guess what?
You picked Todd Blackledge.
Bam! You got it!
Got one right!
You did! You said you asked Kisner to help you out. You pick Blackledge if you're the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Buffalo had the 14th pick and not the 7th pick. So guess who got screwed? Kansas City.
Yeah, in your face, Kansas City.
Right, take that. Good riddance. So, like, hopefully we get a little lucky here. That's part of it. It's just being in the right spot and, you know, taking the best option there. And if it's Bo Nix, okay. Hopefully we take the right guy and we look back here in 10, 15 years and like, man, I'm glad we didn't suck the year before, right? We only stunk.
Yeah.
And because if we would have had a higher pick, we would have taken Drake May. But you know what? We didn't, and we got really lucky.
So it's just, I guess for lack of a better term, it's like dumb luck.
Yes.
But it's...
That's part of it. That's what right. I was telling you. Like, a lot of this, of the draft is luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just luck. And because of where you're drafting.
Yeah, and it's, look, the way things have gone for the Denver Broncos, and, you know, it feels like, I hate saying this, it feels like a baseball term, Rockies broadcasters, like they're due. They're due to get some good momentum going their way. And I think if you do good things in your life, you're building up good karma, you're paying your taxes and all the good stuff that comes with that, you'll be rewarded for that. And I think, even though Sean can be kind of rude sometimes, but that's okay. He's not here to make friends, right? He's here to win football games. I think they are doing things the right way. I think their decision to move on from Russell Wilson and eat the cap and go, we know that this isn't the end game for us. It's going to hurt up front, but we're going to do it the right way. You know, they're earning some of the good or dumb luck, whatever you want to call it, coming their way.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. And, you know, you just look at different drafts and where guys were drafted and the position that they were in. And I look at it and I'm just like, man, most of this stuff is just luck. Because I think that team would have taken a different quarterback if they were picking a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they weren't. So they took so-and-so, and that guy turned out to be, you know, the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
So I do. I think there is a lot of luck involved in who you're drafting and where, especially early in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're in a good spot to get a little bit lucky this year and get the right guy. That's the most important thing. And it doesn't matter, you know, the order here. And it doesn't matter that Mel Kiper has, you know, Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. going in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
That means nothing. So it's do your evaluation, and hopefully you're in the right spot to get the right guy, and then we don't have to talk about the quarterback position for, you know, the next decade,
yeah.
right? That would be nice.
Let's hope the Raiders get to Todd Blackledge and let the New England Patriots find their another version of Tony Eason. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yes.
Let's set them back a few years with their quarterbacks.
And we get Dan Marino.
That's
Bam.
Right.
And all is right in the world.
That's how it's supposed to work, dang it. All right, we got to tell you about the Fan Flyaways. It's presented by Sport Clips. We're giving you another chance. The Fan Flyaway is back. This time, we're sending one lucky listener and a guest, maybe me, to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Maybe you get to watch the Nuggets. Here's what you're going to get. 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for 2 from Denver to the destination that will be determined, 2 nights hotel. How about a little walking around money? I love it when we do this. $500 for you to walk around with. Here's what you got to do. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Nice. Those of you that have previously entered into a Fan Flyaway contest, you're already a part of this club, so you don't have to enter in again. You're already in there. Once you sign up, you're entered for all future Fan Flyaway contests. So do yourself a favor and go to denversports.com right now. Our latest Fan Flyaway, thanks to our friends at Sport Clips.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Thursday. By the way, I didn't mention this, but our other texters are now going after the texter that's going after Nicola for not having a six-pack.
Perfect.
And I really like that. One quick text. They say, to the texter about the 80% of the league having a six-pack, 99% of the league isn't going to be the MVP or the third MVP in 4 years. And then they hashtagged Jokic three-pack.
I like it.
Which is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he even has that three-pack, but I do like what you're going for. I've never had a six-pack. I assume you have?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course.
Real nonchalantly, yeah.
I mean, I was an athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Key word,
machine.
Were.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You. That's what you asked, if yeah. I ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I also, I didn't know if I was going to say this on air, but I will hear at 1046. You are really leaning into the bad parking thing.
Yeah.
I noticed that this morning.
Yeah, I did it again. F them parking spots. Do what the hell I want.
And then there was still someone next to you.
Yesterday, right. Right, because you were talking about bad parking jobs yesterday. I was like, actually, I did one, you know, yesterday. I was like, I did it. Mm-hmm. And so when we left work, you went to go check it out.
Yep.
And it wasn't horrible. But someone still parked next to me.
Right next to you.
Now, they parked on the side that I gave extra room,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we got a ton of parking spots. And I park far away.
Yeah.
So if I want to take one and a half, or not one, it's not one and a half, one and a little bit of
one
the
and
other
a quarter.
One. Right. And sometimes you can't even see the lines, and that's where I like to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know where it is. That's what I'm going to do. So.
And then we did point out the guy that was, or the person that was next to you, their whole door was dented in.
Exactly. Don't park near my stuff, especially when I'm far away. Goodness.
Yeah,
that drives me nuts.
It is weird. You go out of your way to park in the back, and someone still parks next
right.
to you. Yeah, I'm glad that the people in this building have got my memo to park next to Stoke.
It
as
does.
Much as possible.
It pisses me off.
All right, let's talk a little Rockies. They had an afternoon game yesterday, wrapping up their series with the Diamondbacks. Still looking for their first series win, and it actually worked out pretty good, Stoke. I get home yesterday after we do the show, and I'm sitting down and figure out some stuff for the day and get ready for the Nuggets game, all that stuff. And I turn on the Rockies game. Like, oh, let me see how this thing plays out. I saw that it was 3-3. Maybe they're going to win their first series of this young MLB season. Turn on the game. My guy Justin Lawrence is there. That's my boy now. He's got that hair.
He's got that good flow.
He's got that good flow hanging out of the back. And Justin Lawrence delivers. Ball popped up. Nolan Jones chasing. Dives. And the ball rolls right behind him.
Oh, no.
It happened again, Stokes.
No, it happened again?
It happened again.
Wow.
And look, this one's not as crazy because Nolan had a choice. Like, dive for the ball to try to make the out, get the Rockies out of the inning, and give up no runs. Or play the ball on a bounce and give up a run, and then they go down 4-3, and they would have lost 4-3 if that were the case, but because they didn't score anything in the ninth. But it was just like, again, this is Rockies life. Hashtag Rock life. Nug life we got rid of because of the championship a year ago. Now we're in hashtag Rock life. What can go wrong will go wrong. And it was just, I literally laughed out loud when he dove and I saw the ball roll behind him because it's just so Rockies.
Yeah, it's typical. Like I told you, I'm not watching it. I'm just not. You want to keep making yourself miserable.
Yeah.
Go for it. You like that. You're a little bit dark like that.
I am.
I'm not giving them my time. And just for these reasons right here. And that was a series they needed to win. Or they might not win a series for, I don't know, it might be a while
mm-hmm.
here. So, yeah, that just kind of makes sense. I mean, he is struggling. He is struggling in the field. It's looking forward to him taking a big step forward this year. And, I mean, he can't field ground balls. He can't catch a fly balls right to him. And now this is what happened in the ninth. I guess, you know, to his defense, if you're in that situation, what was there, two outs?
Yeah.
And you know if you let it fall, the guys are running. One run's going to score anyway.
Yep.
You might as well go for it. Was it even close? Like, was it even close to being, or is like that one guy that earlier in the season that dove and the ball landed 8 feet in front of him and then went all the way to the wall. So please tell me it was closer than that.
It wasn't Brenton Doyle bad, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, it deflected off of the tip of his glove. He was still a couple of yards away there from making the catch. But you're right. I mean, he only had that choice or give up the run automatically. So I understand why he made the decision.
But
he just didn't execute the
right
decision.
But still, like, right. You know, you're a professional baseball player. You got to, you know, make the plays that are in front of you. I like being aggressive in that situation, though.
And then, of course, Nolan also was at the plate five times and struck out three times.
Ooh.
So it's just been rough for Nolan Jones, man. Like we've talked about before, he's supposed to be the guy that is the future of the Colorado Rockies, and it has been bad.
He's batting 157.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what you do here with a guy like that. Young player, right?
Mm-hmm.
and really struggling bad. A lot of expectations coming into the season. Do you send them down or do you just sit them for a while? I don't know, you know, how you operate that. But maybe you need to give them a week off and try to just
right.
a couple days, something here to try to get him reset and moving back in the right direction because it's been awful in the field and it's been awful at the plate.
Yeah.
Not a good start for Nolan Jones.
And he had a chance. He was last out, too. Two runners on and popped one out. Game over. Series over. He kind of made his own bed yesterday.
I mean, every time you just give me more and more bad news about it.
Yeah.
No, and he did this. And he did that. Right. And I'm like, holy cow. All right. That's enough. That's enough bad news about Nolan Jones. Let's rip on someone else now. Who all else right. can we rip on?
How about we play the hit game that we've been playing here for a few weeks called Did Chris Bryant Get a Hit? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like this. This feels good, right?
There we go.
So Chris Bryant, he got moved up in the lineup last night. He was batting third. And the answer to the question, did Chris Bryant get a hit, Stoke? The answer.
No.
Dang it.
No.
The answer is no.
Oh, dang it.
Chris Bryant was 0-for-5, Stoke.
Oh, the good 0-for-5-er.
He struck out once as well.
Okay.
That brings Chris Bryant's batting average to a smooth, even 100 on the year.
Wow. 100.
He's batting every 10 times he goes to the plate now.
Yep.
He's going to get a hit once, but he's going to get a hug from his kids every single time.
Dang. Even if he goes 0-for-5, he got hugs yesterday.
He got hugs yesterday.
That's good to know. Glad that they're taking care of that. Brutal. Him and Nolan Jones, maybe they need to go on a little retreat together.
Like a silent retreat? Like an Aaron Rodgers type retreat?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Go to the darkness.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Go somewhere and try to forget about the first 13 games of the year. I want these guys to do good. I want them to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
This is brutal. I mean, this is the highest paid guy on the team.
Yeah.
Can't stay healthy, first of all. How long has he been in? What year is this for him? Third? Second?
Second, I think.
It's just second or third? Anyway.
We'll find out, yeah.
I think it is a second.
I think so, yeah. So, it feels like it's 10 years. But
it does. That's why I'm asking. Like, holy cow, that's it? Last year he couldn't stay healthy.
No.
You know, it was the bed. It was plantar fasciitis. It was this. It was that. The bed. The back injury, right? Yeah. From the bed. Bad sleep. And then, you know, now this year he's staying healthy and he just sucks. So, dude, I don't know. I don't know what you do with him, but you can't have him batting third.
No.
He's the highest paid guy on your team. So, I don't know where you put him. Where do you put him? On the bench?
Mm-hmm.
And just keep giving him paychecks? How many more years left of this contract, Kisner? How many more years left of the contract for
all up right now?
Chris Bryant. What are you eating in there, by the way? You know you're not
nothing.
Supposed to be eating in there. Oh, okay,
just
you're
nothing.
Not. Okay.
Awesome.
Something from Starbucks. I see you over there.
I'm drinking my Starbucks.
Oh, you're drinking your Starbucks. Yeah. What kind of drink? Give us a rundown of your caramel macchiato, added extra caramel, more syrup. What'd you get?
Venti white chocolate mocha.
There we go.
Very fancy.
That drink was mine that you just described.
That's yours.
That's the one I
okay,
did.
That's the one you drink. Okay. So the diet is done then, huh, Chicken Fingers? We're out on the diet. Just
what diet?
Damn,
you went to what'd you go to? The birthday party.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, life sucks.
Oh, come on. I might need to go on a diet with you. You called me out the other day, so to people like you called me out.
With what?
The other day. About me eating.
Oh, in the out there?
Yeah. About me eating. So you know,
I brought you down with me.
Yeah, right. You are dragging me down with you. So we'll go down together, buddy. How about that?
Kevin actually does it off air though. You know.
Does what?
Gives you a hard time.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's not just me going after him.
But you're putting him on blast like publicly here.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that is true. That is. But I put myself on blast
you
with
did.
Him, right?
You did.
So
you
I
did.
See, like I'm trying to soften the blow a little bit.
One other quick text. We're going to keep going back to this texter about Joker's six-pack. A texter wrote, I don't recall Peyton Manning or Tom Brady's six-packs their entire career.
I think Tom did.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, did you see Tom?
He's a handsome devil.
He's an avocado. Leaned up. I mean, he was, I'm sure he probably had a few packs there.
No Peyton, though? No sixer for Peyton?
Nah,
just unnecessary.
Nah, who cares?
Right.
Play quarterback.
Yeah.
Can you throw it or not?
Right.
That's all that matters.
Good.
I mean, can Jokic get up and down the court, and just all game long? Yeah. Luka can't.
No. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to go back to Ball Arena. Huge win for the Nuggets.
He's got 4 years
night.
Left on his deal. Four Chris more Man. Years. Can we buy it out? Can we buy it out? Oh. 4 more years of this? Kisner, through what year?
Through 2028.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Bro, we got to do something. What's going to happen here?
We got to get Bearcat Jim on this case.
Yes.
Get a buyout going on.
Get the buyout.
Yeah.
Get the buyout.
That's got to happen soon, Bearcat. All right, we're going to go back to Ball Arena. 2 games left for the Nuggets. Win, and they're the 1 seed. How should Coach Malone handle Jamal Murray specifically over the weekend? We'll have that conversation next.